All right, everybody. Welcome back to Hawk Droppings. I'm Hawk. How you doing? I'm recording this at about 3:45 on Sunday, July 22nd, or excuse me, 21st. It's been about 4 hours since Joe Biden announced that he is withdrawing from the 2024 presidential campaign. Shortly after that, he endorsed Kamala Harris for the position, which I'm grateful that he did. So now, well, let me back up for a second. Given that she has the endorsement of the sitting president of the United States, no other Democrats are going to challenge her. There will not be a brokered convention. She will be the Democratic Party nominee. Very shortly, I would imagine that we will move on to discussions of who she's going to select for a vice president. We will talk about that in a few minutes. But the reality of this campaign now is it is Donald Trump versus Kamala Harris. A lot of people have some very strong feelings about whether or not Joe Biden should have remained on the ticket on both sides. I personally am in favor of him withdrawing from the race. I am very happy that he endorsed Kamala Harris. I am similarly very happy that she is going to be the Democratic candidate for president. I say that I'm very happy that she's going to be the candidate because, you know, I think that gives us, as a country, a better decision-making option process than when we had Trump versus Biden. Now, Joe Biden's presidency, at least the first 2 years of it, were the most consequential of any presidency during my entire life. I'm 56 years old. He got more done in 2 years than most presidents get done in eight. And he did that when, you know, we had a 5-seat majority in the House and Nancy Pelosi was speaker. We had a tie, actually. We had a tie, a 50-50 tie in the Senate. And Kamala Harris actually cast more tie-breaking votes than any other vice president in history during those 2 years. He nominated some incredible judges to the bench, to the federal bench. He got Ketanji Brown Jackson onto the Supreme Court, the first black woman on the court. We're going to talk about his accomplishments more in a minute. I mean, what Joe Biden did today has solidified his legacy as a statesman, as a patriot. He will be recognized for the rest of his life and beyond for someone who put his country ahead of himself. His legacy is intact. His 50 years of governing and his 4 years as president are intact. He's going to get standing ovations everywhere he goes for the rest of his life. And I think we all definitely need to take the time and recognize his lifetime of accomplishments and the things that he and his family have been through during that period of time as well. Going back to when he ran for the Senate, he was sworn in into the United States Senate in a hospital room where his sons were after they'd been in a horrific traffic collision that killed Joe Biden's wife and daughter. His two boys, Beau and Hunter, were still in the hospital. And Joe Biden was sworn into the Senate in their hospital room. Just a lifetime of public service. 30-plus years in the Senate, 8 years as Barack Obama's vice president. He shepherded the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, through Congress, with the relationships that he had built in Congress. And in 2020, he beat Donald Trump for the presidency, denying Donald Trump a second term. And now Kamala Harris is also going to deny Donald Trump a second term. And it is going to be, pardon my French, absolutely fucking glorious to watch Donald Trump lose the presidency to an incredibly accomplished black woman, Donald Trump hates black women. Letitia James, Fannie Willis, Tanya Chutkan, two prosecutors and a federal judge. Letitia James got $650 million worth of judgments, fines, penalties, and interest against him for a decade's worth of fraud. Fannie Willis brought the RICO case against him. Judge Tanya Chutkan is the federal judge in the January 6th case, which will go forward after Donald Trump loses in November. And not to mention the Manhattan prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, who is a black man who convicted Donald Trump on 34 felony counts. Donald Trump is a racist. He is a sexist. And it is going to be a thing of beauty watching him lose this election to Kamala Harris, on the one hand. On the other hand, I fully support Kamala Harris. I will get behind her candidacy. I'm very excited that there's a new generation. She's only 3 years older than me, I think. And I'm just, for the first time since 2022, I'm feeling hopeful about the 2024 election. Yeah, the last month has sucked. And it's a wonderful thing to be sitting here feeling hopeful again. I mean, it's barely been 3 weeks since the debate between Trump and Biden. Last weekend was, I mean, it seems like it was a year ago. A week ago yesterday was the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. He was shot by a conservative Republican, 20-year-old incel white kid. He was shot at. I still don't think he was hit by a bullet. You know, then we had the RNC convention started last Monday. Eileen Cannon dismissed all the criminal charges against Donald Trump in the Mar-a-Lago documents case last Monday. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez was convicted of 18 felonies. Joe Biden got COVID. We got J.D. Vance as Trump's vice presidential candidate, which now I'm sad that we're not going to get to see J.D. Vance debate Kamala Harris. She would have absolutely destroyed him. And I think it's worth noting that, well, and we learned that the Grindr app, the gay hookup app, crashed this week in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because Milwaukee, Wisconsin was full of Republican men. Yeah, the last week has been a very long year as far as the campaign and news cycles go. But since the Dobbs decision came out in April or May of 2022, Kamala Harris has been the Biden administration's point person on the issue of reproductive rights and abortion rights. She is a former prosecutor. She has prosecuted that case very, very well. And my God, that is one of three Achilles heels that Donald Trump has in this campaign, the issue of abortion. Excuse me. The audio that is out there of him bragging about taking credit for overturning Roe versus Wade and the fact that abortion rights are going to be on state ballot referendums in 14 or 15 states, most of them red states, in November, including Florida. I just, the entire dynamic of this race just changed. The entire dynamic of this race just changed. Kamala Harris is a former prosecutor. She is a trial attorney. She has done trials. She knows how to prosecute a case. And she will be able to bring these arguments to Donald Trump's feet and throw them in his face. Next up, we have the second presidential debate in September. That's already booked. It's already on calendar. Will Donald Trump show up? Will Donald Trump show up for that debate? Because he's not going to be facing Sleepy Joe now. I mean, Kamala Harris will be on fire for him. His other two Achilles tendons, well, I mean, I guess there's three. Project 2025, she will staple that to his forehead during that debate. Abortion, Project 2025, overturning the 2020 election, his big lie about the 2020 election being stolen, and January 6th. He says he wants to pardon the J6ers. He plays their national anthem, recorded by imprisoned January 6th defendants who've already been convicted and sentenced to prison. He plays their version of the national anthem at his rallies. J6ers, the big lie, 2020 election was stolen, trying to overturn it. Abortion, Project 2025. Donald Trump is beatable. He is 100% beatable. And I'm incredibly grateful to Joe Biden for stepping down. I think that was the right thing to do for this country. I definitely think it was the right thing to do for him and his legacy and his family. And he will be considered a hero for the rest of his life and beyond. I'm very happy and energized that we have a younger generation that is really going to bring some energy to this campaign and really going to be able to prosecute the case against Donald Trump. All right. So earlier today, Joe Biden posted a letter on Twitter. He did not make a public, he didn't make a public statement. All kinds of conspiracy people are already been like, you know, they're tying no public statement, no on camera to the fact that Joe Biden is still recovering from COVID. We don't know any information about that. I wish people on our side would engage in conspiracy thinking so much less than people on the right. But over the last month, it's gotten a bit out of hand. My fellow Americans, over the past 3.5 years, we have made great progress as a nation. Today, America has the strongest economy in the world. It does. We've made historic investments in rebuilding our nation and lowering prescription drug costs for seniors and in expanding affordable care to a record number of Americans. We've provided critically needed care to millions of veterans exposed to toxic substances. That's the burn pit legislation. We passed first gun safety law in 30 years, appointed the first African-American woman to the Supreme Court, and passed the most significant climate change legislation in the history of the world. America has never been better positioned to lead than we are today. He didn't even talk about the CHIPS Act or the Infrastructure Act or getting us out of COVID. This is what I mean. That list of accomplishments is insane, and it's not even complete. His presidency was the most consequential of my entire lifetime when it comes to accomplishments, and accomplishments for the bottom 90%. You didn't hear anything about a tax cut in there. And he's appointed, I think, over 200 federal judges at this point. Continuing, I know none of this could have been done without you, the American people. Today, we overcame a once-in-a-century pandemic and the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. We've protected and preserved our democracy, and we've revitalized and strengthened our alliances in the world, not to mention NATO. We expanded NATO to include countries like Finland, which has 700 miles of border with Russia. They are now in NATO. It's either Finland or Sweden. I can't remember which. I think it's Finland. And he's defended everything that he has done with NATO to defend Ukraine against Vladimir Putin. It's just insane, the level of accomplishments. It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president. And while it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. I will speak to the nation later this week in more detail about my decision. For now, let me express my deepest gratitude to all those who have worked so hard to see me reelected. I want to thank Vice President Kamala Harris for being an extraordinary partner in all of this work. And let me express my heartfelt appreciation to the American people for the faith and trust you have placed in me. I believe today what I always have, that there is nothing America can't do when we do it together. We just have to remember we are the United States of America. Signed, Joe Biden. That's goosebumps, man. I mean, that's just goosebumps. When you consider this man's career and consider the incredible accomplishments that are listed in that letter, and it's not even a complete list. I mean, his record speaks for itself. His legacy is intact. He's doing the right thing for the country. He's going to be viewed as a hero and a statesman for the rest of his life. And again, I know a lot of people have strong feelings about this. I've been blocked by several of my mutuals this week. That's neither here nor there. We're not getting into that in this podcast. I talked about it on my YouTube or my TikTok page. So then it came out after probably 20 minutes after he sent that letter. I was on a live with Legal Dad and Manda and Tom Powell Jr. And then it came across the news that he was endorsing Kamala Harris for president in the 2024 election, which I wholeheartedly support. I think that is the right thing to do. I'm very grateful and glad that he did it. Now, that does a couple of things. No Democrat is going to challenge her for this. There's not going to be primaries. There's not going to be a contested or an open convention. I know that there were a couple of members of Congress who put out videos, I think kind of fear-mongering that, you know, we're going to have this brokered convention and it's going to last for days and days and days and days and days and days. And Michigan's ballot deadline is 2 days after the convention. And so no Democrat's going to be on the ballot in Michigan, and that's a critical swing state. Can't win without Michigan. So there you go. That's it. That's the election. Everything's over, which I thought was bullshit and unnecessary. I thought that was a shitty message to put out to millions of people who were powerless to do anything about this. And I lost some respect for some people for whom I previously had a tremendous amount of respect. And they were frankly proved wrong in less than 36 hours. This party is going to unite behind Kamala Harris. The party infrastructure, the DNC, President Biden, everything is going to unite behind her and coalesce behind her in a way that we've not seen in quite some time. And again, I'm very grateful for that. Because she was already on the ticket as vice president, she will have access to all of the fundraising money that the DNC, the donations that have been made to the DNC and to the Biden campaign. The entire campaign infrastructure is essentially just going to be transferred to her. She's simply going to step in. All of the people who are working for the campaign are going to continue to work for the campaign. They're just going to be working for her election now instead of Joe Biden's reelection. They already obviously all know her. She knows all of them. She's been a part of that campaign from the beginning. And I think it's going to be a very smooth transition. And I think all of the fear-mongering that we've been seeing from, you know, the Biden or bust people is going to fizzle out by Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. It's going to be that smooth of a transition. And so now, then there'll be a lot of discussion about who she's going to pick for a vice president. You know, how to phrase this. We all still live in the United States of America. And since the election of Donald Trump during his first term and during the almost 4 years that he's been in office, we've all seen, and going back to 2008 and 2012 when Barack Obama was elected and reelected, I mean, when it's always been amusing to me to hear people on the right say that Barack Obama was the most racist president we ever had, and that he caused the most racism that's ever happened in the United States. It's like these people have never been exposed to the history of this country, like, at all. And, you know, and it's like that throughout that whole time, I was like, oh, they're so close. You were always racist. It just took the election of a black man to the office of presidency for you to be willing to say it out loud in your everyday life repeatedly for 4 years. And then we had the audacity to reelect him. And then they really lost their mud. And there, the racist reaction of white America to Barack Obama being elected and then being reelected, which was just adding salt to the wound, was to turn around and elect a racist president, Donald Trump. And, you know, fortunately, Joe Biden and his VP pick, Kamala Harris, shut the door on that in the 2020 election. And they shut the door on that quite effectively and quite forcefully. And, you know, and then following that election, we had January 6th, and we had all of Donald Trump's efforts to try to overturn the 2020 election, which has resulted in dozens and dozens and dozens of felony indictments over multiple states for their fake elector schemes, the RICO case, all of that bullshit. All of that bullshit. And think about this, compare and contrast. Last week, we just had the Republican National Convention. They nominated a man who was convicted of 34 felony counts less than 2 months ago. That is their nominee. On Wednesday night, former Trump economic advisor Peter Navarro, he got out of prison and went directly to the RNC where he had a primetime speaking spot. He was in prison for 4 months for defying a subpoena from the January 6th committee. Steve Bannon today begins his third week in prison. He's in prison for 4 months, Donald Trump's former campaign manager. His former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, went to prison. And on Friday, former Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg was released from prison for the second time for felonies. This was his second time in prison. They are a party of felons and criminals. And now our nominee is a former prosecutor. I like that. I like that a lot. That is such a dramatic reframing of the campaign. It's insane. And, you know, so let's talk about Kamala Harris for just a second here. Well, not just a second. She was born and raised in Oakland, California, right across the bay from where I'm at right now. And her first job was at an assistant prosecutor in the Alameda County District Attorney's Office. She started that job in 1990. And then she came over to San Francisco. She was elected the district attorney for the city and county of San Francisco. I think that was in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. And amazingly, and she ran. So she was elected in 2010. She was reelected in 2014. In 2011, Donald Trump donated $5,000 to her campaign. In 2013, he donated another $1,000. Donald Trump has donated $6,000 to Kamala Harris while she was running for district attorney in San Francisco. I can't wait for her to bring that up at the debate in September to thank him for donating to her campaign if he's got the balls to show up. Those were her. Yeah. And then I think it was in, let me change those dates. In 2002, she ran for district attorney. And so she was district attorney. The 2010 and 2014 elections were for California State Attorney General. I misspoke. I apologize. And she served as Attorney General for the state of California until she was elected to the United States Senate in 2016. She was sworn into that office on January 3rd, 2017 by the Vice President, Joe Biden. And I just, it's crazy when you think about it, okay? In 2011 and 2013, Donald Trump donated $6,000 to her campaign. In January of 2017, she was sworn in to the United States Senate by Joe Biden. By 2020, she's Joe Biden's vice president, and now it's 2024, and she's going to be running for president against Donald Trump, who donated to her campaign in 2011 and 2013. That just makes my head spin. But, you know, she has a record as San Francisco district attorney that I'm sure we're going to learn a lot more about. And she has a record as California State Attorney General that I'm sure we're going to learn more about. She tried to do some reform to the criminal justice system in California to deal with the issues of wrongful convictions and overpopulation of prisons. While she was San Francisco Attorney General, that's when we had Prop 8, which was the ban on gay marriage statewide. And in 2014, as Attorney General, she worked with the state legislature on LGBTQ rights and to expand those within the state. After 2016, when she entered the Senate, she became... I think she was on the Judiciary Committee, which I thought was outstanding for her, being a former prosecutor, being a former district attorney, being a former attorney general. And she gained immediate attention for her, I mean, people will say her questioning of certain witnesses. She was cross-examining people. And I've talked about this a lot. When you're questioning someone, you're questioning a nominee, you know, you can ask them open-ended questions. Well, why did you do this? Or why did you do that? Or what happened next? When you are cross-examining someone, which is basically the main job of a prosecutor, is cross-examination. The attorney makes a statement and then asks their question. You did X, Y, and Z, correct? You knew this was going to happen, right? You know, you don't have an alibi at all, do you? That kind of thing. It's the attorney's opportunity to testify through the person that they're cross-examining. And in June of 2017, she'd only been in there for 4 or 5 months. She was questioning Rod Rosenstein from Trump's DOJ. He was the deputy attorney general over the role that he played in the firing of James Comey, the director of the FBI, the month before. And the prosecutorial nature of her questioning caused Senator John McCain and Senator Richard Burr, the committee chairman, both Republicans, to interrupt her and request that she be more respectful to the witness. A week later, she questioned Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, on the same topic. Sessions said her questioning made him nervous. You don't think Donald Trump's watching that tape right now? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Senator Richard Burr, Republican chair of the Judiciary Committee, singled out Harris, and it sparked suggestions in the news media that his behavior was sexist, with commentators arguing that Burr would not treat a male Senate colleague in a similar manner. Richard Burr is no longer in the United States Senate. In September and October of 2017, those were the Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court confirmation hearings. Harris questioned Kavanaugh about a meeting he may have had regarding the Mueller investigation with a member of Donald Trump's defense law firm, the firm that was representing him and his attorney, Mark Kasowitz. Kavanaugh was unable to answer and repeatedly deflected. She shredded the guy. She absolutely shredded the guy. On May 1st of 2019, after the release of the Mueller report, she questioned then Attorney General Bill Barr. Shredded him as well. Then, before the first impeachment trial of Donald Trump in January, or the second impeachment of Donald Trump, January 16, 2020. She delivered remarks on the floor of the Senate and went on to shred Donald Trump and voted in favor of convicting him on charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. So it's like Donald Trump, he has game tape of Kamala Harris in the Senate cross-examining his appointees and shredding them. Rod Rosenstein, Bill Barr, Kavanaugh, Jeff Sessions. He has game tape that he is watching right now of her cross-examining the shit out of these people. And then she also voted to convict him in his impeachment trials. Yeah, that's our new candidate for president, everybody. And then she ran in 2020 with Joe Biden, and they beat Donald Trump, and she will beat him again. And she won. She was sworn in as the Vice President of the United States of America. And then what happened? Well, then in May or April or May of 2022, the Supreme Court released their decision in the Dobbs case overturning Roe versus Wade. And she became the Biden administration's point person on the issues of abortion rights and reproductive rights for women across this country. And she has prosecuted that case flawlessly over the last 2 years. And now that issue is going to be on the ballot in 14 or 15 states. It is going to be one of the most important issues in this election. It is one that Donald Trump has been trying to run from full sprint. Boy, there's a disturbing visual. Can you imagine Donald Trump running at a full sprint? When do you think that was the last time that Donald Trump ran in a full sprint? When do you think he's ever run anywhere? It's probably been 40 years. And tennis doesn't count. I'm talking like a 100-yard dash. Dude's heart would explode. And it's like, and speaking of the shift in the dynamics of this election, who's the old man now? Who is the person who's in the race now who is now too old to serve in this office? It's not Joe Biden. It's Donald Trump. She's 20 years younger than him. And look, the last week, the last month have been awful and overwhelming and incredibly difficult and challenging for all of us to live through. This entire campaign has been frightening and overwhelming and unmooring. And, you know, it's like, I mean, it's been 6 months since my brother and I launched this podcast, and the very, 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 very first episode of Hawk Droppings that I recorded in the middle of last December, I spoke for 50 minutes about Project 2025. That was our very first episode that we put up. And if you're hearing this, you can go back through the archives and find it. But, and now everybody over the last 2 or 3 weeks, everybody is learning about Project 2025. And Donald Trump is sprinting as fast as he can away from abortion. He is sprinting as fast as he can away from Project 2025, even though his name appears in Project 2025 320 times. They wrote it for him. The Heritage Foundation wrote it for him. He's on tape taking credit for overturning Roe versus Wade. 31 of the 38 authors of Project 2025 were members of Donald Trump's first administration. They wrote it for him. And he tried to overturn the 2020 election, and he's still talking about pardoning the January 6th defendants who got violent at the Capitol. There is a cornucopia of issues out there, using his own words on video, that will kill his candidacy and kill his campaign. He cannot win this election. And now the Democratic side of the aisle has been absolutely revitalized and re-energized, and Joe Biden's going to go down in history as a hero and a patriot. It's been quite a day. This has been quite a day. This has been a historic day. I'm not sure that this has ever happened before in the history of our country. But we need to show Joe Biden the utmost respect and gratitude for today and for the decision that he made. I know it's not an easy decision that he came to. We've all been reading the leaks about what he's been going through over the last week. But he needs our respect. He needs dignity. He needs our thanks, our gratitude. He did a great thing for this country today at great personal cost, and he did it for the United States of America. And we all need to remember that from here on out. It's going to be a busy week in the news. We'll keep you posted as much as we can. But what a crazy day, week, month, 8 years. So we know what the playing field is now, and we know what we need to do to win in November. We are all united in one common goal. Donald Trump must be defeated, period. Otherwise, we're not having an election in 2028. We need to focus on that goal. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon.